Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith.
Would You Rather Wednesday. Jones and Keith. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll give you some Would You Rathers in a moment. A few texts here. 617-779-7937. Carmelo Anthony equals loser.
Yeah, a lot of gold medals, though.
That's a loser loser.
Hard to be a loser with all those gold medals around your neck.
Is he a loser who won? He won gold medals.
National championship.
He might be a national title. Thank you, Bill.
He might be a loser who won.
But it is amazing for a guy that is like everywhere but the NBA. He's like one of the great winners. But in the NBA, he is one of the great losers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can put him in a lot of different places and he'd win. Not professionally in the NBA.
No.
Landing Lala was a win.
Yeah, he was with Lala for a bit.
Yeah.
And their kid, Cayenne, I think, is going to Syracuse.
Cayenne?
I believe kind of like the Spice.
Really?
I believe Cayenne Anthony, right?
Nice. I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Good name.
I think he's going to, I think he
we should have thought that one out. Kat and I should have thought that one out. That's not a bad name.
Cayenne Anthony. I believe he's going to Syracuse.
Somebody also says, I don't know, Keith, Olajuwon had Clyde the Glide when they won?
Yes and no.
Not
one year with
one.
Him, 1 year without him.
Fair. So, but right.
Eventually
he got him.
This isn't my first rodeo here. That is a – go back and look at that.
I'm going to take exception to this other one, Keith.
The best players on the team were like Kenny Smith, I think, and
– Vernon Maxwell.
And this guy.
The former Rockets guard.
Vernon Maxwell. Cool.
Vernon Maxwell takes it to the max before the game.
Great.
Yeah, he does.
The max. Yeah.
He hates the Jazz.
Yeah, right.
Well, he hates Salt Lake City.
True.
The whole state of Utah.
Yeah.
Mormons in general.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's pretty aggressive.
One more here. Dirk won with less than Giannis. How dare you?
Mm.
Jose Juan Barea.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Just dominated in that series.
They had the Matrix, though.
I don't want to hear about it.
Sean Marion.
Clamped LeBron.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Terry.
The Jet.
Yep.
That's close, though, actually.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Dirk and Giannis are probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Would you argue Jokic close? I like Jamal Murray.
That's also a great one. That's a guy, actually.
Jamal Murray or Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton? I don't know. It might be a wash.
Yeah, it's close.
Okay.
I'd probably rather have Murray. I like Murray. I'd probably rather have Murray, but that is a close one. All right, Billy, let's get to some Would You Rathers. What do you have today?
All right, first one, would you rather have Rafael Devers or Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
So this is a tip of the cap to Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring will join us tomorrow at this time. He's in Toronto, so he tweeted this out. He had a little Twitter poll and everything. He's like, which player would you rather have, Rafael Devers or Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
Hmm.
I think the answer is obvious. I think Vlad? You probably... Yeah, I'm going Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I'm going Vlad.
He's a young gun. He can play first base. And so, you know, you can figure out something to do with Tristan Casas. And, you know, you free up DH for something else. I would rather have Vlad Guerrero. Now, the poll is 50.5% Vlad, 49.5% for Devers. Kind of surprising.
Wow, so Vlad... Wait, but that's... Vlad is winning that poll for Baseball Isn't Boring.
Yes.
Okay, so I would say that. You would say that.
I would.
That's got to be. I mean, I know Rob Bradford is a national brand. Baseball Isn't Boring
but
is a national
Red
brand,
Sox
but it's mostly.
Yeah.
Wow, so I'm surprised at that. I'm surprised.
Okay.
He's even winning on that. But I think people got that right, but that surprises me. Mm-hmm. No, I'd rather have Vlad. You just said it. What's a bigger or a better fit on this team? And it's out because he just signed his big giant extension in Toronto.
Yeah.
But what would be a better fit on this team? Vlad's a first baseman. Vlad's younger. I think he's a better. Is he a better all-around hitter? I was about to say that. I don't know that I actually fully agree with that.
It might be.
I think it's close.
Yeah.
I would rather have Vlad.
His high-end seasons have been better than Devers' high-end seasons. Devers is a couple years older, but at least he has a position in the field that you can play him. And I know they have Bregman now, but they still are pretty. They still have a lot of left-handed hitters. So I think, yeah, you'd be better off with Vlad.
Red Sox bats, we're going to get to coming up.
Yes.
They have come alive. Bregman.
Yesterday was a good game.
And Devers included.
Yep.
All right, what's next, Billy?
Would you rather Mike Sullivan or someone without NHL head coaching experience as the next Bruins head coach?
So can I jump in on this? I was very adamant the other day when Sullivan when Sullivan got fired. Well, no, I defer to Keefe. I want to get in there first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was very adamant. I'm like, Mike Sullivan, that's a great fit. That's a home run hire. They've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So the more I dug in on Sullivan, I wonder if I was a little too bullish initially when he got fired as a fit here. Plus, the whole McAvoy-Sullivan thing would just be a weird, odd dynamic.
So the thing for people who don't know, McAvoy is married to Sullivan's daughter? Or they're going out? Or they're married?
They're married,
okay.
I believe. Yeah.
All right.
Nice.
So do you call him dad or coach?
Does Sullivan have to make him the captain? If he doesn't make him the captain,
boy.
Is that weird at family dinners? Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
So, but put that to the side. Sullivan, it's been a while since he's been successful. But to answer it the way the question is worded, would I rather Mike Sullivan or someone without coaching experience? I would rather Sullivan. Absolutely.
Okay.
Would rather have somebody who's done it, been there. I think this team needs that.
But the NHL's crazy with the amount of firings, but then the amount of retreads. It's
correct.
Like, you're fired, but like for the Bruins, it's wild how quickly those guys get picked up. Claude, Cassidy, and Montgomery were hired within a weekend.
Yeah.
It was like immediately got new jobs.
And I'm okay with a retread coach. I'm not necessarily okay with the same organization bringing back the same coach.
What
like, that's a bit much.
What did you think at the time of the most two recent hirings? Not Sacco, but they went with Cassidy, who was just their guy at Providence, who had a very small like cup of coffee. He did have NHL head coaching experience, but it was years ago, and it didn't go great.
It went really bad when he was in Washington.
Right.
Yeah, the players couldn't stand him.
So I was kind of like, I had an eyebrow raise at that, but then I thought he was excellent. I think he's still a great coach.
Well, and he's a little different because we got some runway with him to see how it went after Claude while he was actually coaching the team. I'll be honest, I don't really remember my stance on Cassidy. I don't think I had a big issue with that.
Okay.
I did not love the Montgomery hire, and
that was another weird one.
That went better than I thought it would have. I still don't think he's a great coach, and we'll see if the Blues go on a run here or not. They're even with Winnipeg right now.
Yeah.
I still think he's not a great coach, but it definitely went better than I expected to with him.
I think still I would take a guy, I don't know who it is, but a guy that isn't one of these retreads, and it's going to have to be somebody that's good with young players. So I don't know if that means it's a college coach or not, because they're going to have a million guys that are like under 25 on this team. What do you think?
They are.
Yeah.
I would be real hesitant to do that, but I've been wrong before. In that scenario,
but like, are you going to back the coach this time around, or at the first sign of adversity, are you going to blame them? Because I don't think Sweeney could possibly.
Well,
now, maybe he could.
What's easier for Sweeney to survive? You bring in some college coach and be like, he just wasn't ready for it. That ultimately puts the target back on you. But I think that's easier to survive.
Part of me thinks there's no way
he survives another firing.
But then again, then you hear Jacobs and you're like, I think he'd survive everything.
It's the Bruins. So
I think the Bruins will just keep Sweeney and Neely forever. And like, it won't matter with the coach.
He should have already been fired by now.
Right.
So I would never say never on that front. What else, Billy?
Would you rather have Drew Holiday or Derek White?
So we just saw three straight games without Drew Holiday. I think there is something about Drew Holiday in the playoffs that is... I don't think it was a coincidence at all that the year that they broke through and won the title was the first year with Drew Holiday. And you could argue that, Tatum and Brown were both a little bit better and whatever. I don't know. If you put Drew Holiday on their team a couple years ago, do they beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals? Maybe. Like, just that kind of calming influence on top of being a great perimeter defender and, like, a real point guard. So this is no disrespect to Derek White, who's awesome and, like, way better than I think anybody even thought he was going to be, with the exception of Brad Stevens, who traded for him. I'd take Drew Holiday.
So me
I guess.
Too.
Yeah.
In a vacuum, who's a better player, Derek White or Drew Holiday? Right now,
I think today probably Derek White.
So me too. I think right now at this point in their careers, Holiday's had a better career. Derek White is a better player in a vacuum. I think White is a winning player.
He definitely is.
I don't have a problem with Derek White. You know, speaking of things I was wrong about, didn't like that trade when it happened. Very wrong about that.
Oh, he's great.
So I think Derek White is a winning player.
You want Romeo Langford back?
I think right now. I didn't want to deal the two first-round picks, which in retrospect was very dumb.
Yep.
But I think when it comes to Derek White, he's a winning player. Right now, he in a vacuum better than Drew Holiday. But at winning time for this team right now,
yeah,
I would rather Drew Holiday.
Yeah, because you're not starting a team from scratch, right? You already have Brown and Tatum and even Porzingis in this scenario. So if you had to pick one or the other. But
I think both are
going to come up with clutch plays, it feels like.
We saw what it looks like the last three games without him.
Yeah.
And I want, we said this earlier, is anybody like dealing with anything? You see when White left the game for a while last night after taking an elbow to the head?
Yeah,
so,
maybe he, I mean,
I'd keep an eye on that. They have a layoff until they got to play either this weekend or Monday once that other series wraps up. But I would keep an eye on that. And let's face it, when Holiday was out these last three games, you didn't notice White a ton. You noticed him a lot in game one when Holiday was out there.
So on the text line, talking about they'd rather have Derek White because he's younger. I guess, all right, so two different ways of looking at this question. If we're just talking about this playoff run, I think it's Drew Holiday. If the new owner comes in and it's like, we have to shed salary,
Holiday's,
we're getting rid of...
Holiday's probably the first one to go.
You probably keep White for the long term.
Right.
I agree with that. It'd be a painful loss, but at least that would make more sense long run. But just for this playoff run, give me Holiday.
From a championship standpoint, yeah. I would rather Holiday.
Yeah.
What's our final question, Billy?
Would you rather bet on 100 humans or one gorilla to win a fight?
So this has been sweeping the internet for the last several days.
I'll be honest. I was unaware of this until last night. I was unaware of this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because
under a rock you've been living.
Our guy Gonzo was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
And so that's the only reason I was even made aware of this debate.
So it's people have taken a lot of time to consider how this would go. So you have one gorilla and you have 100 human. Now, the humans don't have weapons. The gorilla does not have a weapon. So you can't be like, oh, I'll take one guy with a machine gun. You don't have any guns. You don't have any of that. You don't even have a slingshot.
Yeah.
You have 100 just dudes wearing gym clothes. But you can pick the humans. So, Jones, some people are like, I would take John Jones. I would take Brock Lesnar. I would take all these guys.
You take a fictional human?
No.
Rambo?
Nope.
John Wick.
No.
You can't take those guys. Okay, got it.
Jean-Claude Van Damme from Bloodsport. No, you can't take any of those.
Real humans.
Real humans.
Yeah.
100 people, which is pretty overwhelming. You ever get like 100 people in like a room?
Yep.
A lot of people.
Yep.
Gorilla. One gorilla might be all you need. I don't know, because my first knee-jerk reaction is the 100 humans would actually win, but 50 of them might die.
Right. We had a promo about this. Not just die.
Oh.
Get their face ripped off.
Blood bath.
Ears ripped off. Like, if you're one of the lucky humans to survive and ultimately take out the gorilla.
You need to get, like, 50, like, death row guys that are going to be, like, ready to go. Like, listen, we have no chance.
But you're just lucky that you were one of the, I'm with you on this. The humans would ultimately overwhelm
the
gorilla.
It's too many, 100?
But the people that the gorilla takes out, and there will be people.
Mortal Kombat-like fatalities.
It will be ugly.
Yes. Yeah.
It will be gruesome.
Yeah.
It will not be the way you want to go out. So that now is just a numbers game. Did the gorilla come at you first because you're dead?
I think you need to like send waves at the gorilla.
Right.
And you would
want to be in the first wave.
No.
Because that first wave is dead.
What if this was like...
Oh, I think you all have to go at once. I think this isn't a
martial arts movie.
No.
One at a time, the gorilla dominates.
But
10 at a time, I think it dominates.
Well, probably dominates, but you got to somehow get in there and like hold them down.
You got to keep the legs fresh.
Everybody's like multiple people on every limb of the gorilla.
It's like bringing pass rushers in on third down.
Somebody's going to be on its back trying to choke them out type thing.
Yeah. Because you got to get everybody's got to hold
100
down.
100 MMA guys.
That's what you need, 100 MMA, 100 heavyweights in there against this one gorilla. And that'd be...
So, no. 100 people win at the end of the day.
I think.
But it might...
Yeah, they don't finish the day with 100 guys.
70, no. You're not walking out with 100 people.
No, you're not.
And the ones who are walking out are missing limbs and ears and noses.
Oh, they're going to live the rest of their life remembering and knowing and being reminded that they fought this gorilla.
But have a great story.
Yeah. A story to have.
It was me and 99 of my friends.
99 best buds. We got together.
Their face skin is gone. That's missing. Weird things have happened.
Orifices
and things like this, like it's not good. You've had
the gorilla took his time with me. I'm not sure why.
You've had stuff flung at you that is just unspeakable.
He was just taunting
like
me.
You don't want any of that.
So I think also where the fight is important. And I always in my head when everyone's like, who would win in a fight, this versus this?
Yeah.
I kind of think like open field.
Okay,
like giant open field. Because once you get into like
the gorilla's terrain.
Yeah, like
the mist. If I'm in the mist, this takes place in the mist.
No, I'm
taking the gorilla in the mist. If you're gonna pin me down, but if it's like a football stadium and he's just like at the 50-yard line waiting for the 100 dudes to come out women,
yeah, gladiator style,
then I think the humans would win if they work together.
Is Zagorny Weaver on your team?
I hope so. First pick.
Let me tell you, Yeah. There's a chance that if I'm one of the 100 humans and I'm not in the first wave, but I see what happens to the first wave.
Oh, you bail.
I might just.
No. Can't have you a part of the team.
Conscientiously
no, no,
object.
Locked in there. It's.
I need 100 that are like committed
style.
To. Oh, cage match.
Yeah, steel cage.
Can I just.
So you can't leave. You can't bail. Abort?
Well, I can like maybe hide.
It's like, well, we see 99 bodies here. We're missing.
I don't know if the girl
one.
Will fall for you playing dead.
Oh, possum.
I wouldn't risk that with
just
a gorilla.
Just go possum.
I wouldn't risk that with a gorilla.
I think the gorilla.
Because, again, the gorilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, he's warm. Yeah, you would take advantage
of a predator
at that point.
Yeah, no, he's warm.
You know what Jones would say?
Girl, they would have been taking me to the king.
So.
Yeah, no, that's true.
So, again, open
it
field.
Would, it would have been.
100 humans should be able to win. There's so many humans.
We buried the lead, and assuming he returns for man-to-man-to-man next year, we could ask Christian
Gonzalez
about
weighed
this
in
eventually.
On this.
But he, the only reason I was aware of this is that he weighed in on social media. He said, y'all crazy, the gorilla's winning crying emoji.
Sure.
He's on the gorilla side, which to me, I ultimately think that he has taken a bite at everybody, literally and figuratively, but the humans would overwhelm and win.
One commenter saying, quote, the way my soul would have left my body.
Okay. Good win.
So you could do like 20 people at a time. Because like you can't run all 100 at them. Like
you're not going to get in there.
Yeah.
And then yeah,
trip
it's
over
like,
yourselves.
Yeah, it's right. Like kids around a soccer ball.
It's going to be bad. But you got to be committed to it.
But then also you want a little bit of like, the gorilla doesn't know it's coming.
Oh,
like where are these people? Right, like 20 come in on a wave, and then the gorilla's like, wait, where'd this other next wave of people come from? You want some of that.
But if it's like a ancestor of Harambe, he's going to be looking for justice.
I'm assuming it's I'm assuming.
Yeah, some connection to Harambe.
I'm assuming you want with at least the
he's
personality of a Harambe. Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Is the gorilla hungry?
Then, I mean, yeah, I would say probably a little bit.
Yeah. Hungry for
can
human.
You work it up for
half a human
blood. I was going to say, can you fatten them up before the fight starts?
Yeah.
So they handed them chicken pot pies.
Yeah.
There you go. That is a Would You Rather on a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keith. We'll get back to the Celtics. Pure Hoops with Terp at High Noon. We got some Red Sox thoughts. Their bats finally waking up. We'll get to it next.
This is Jones and Keith on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Pitch to Duran is drilled high and deep into right field, at the track, at the wall, good, bye. Drive down the left field line, gone if fair, it is hooking, and it is out of here. Bregman goes deep.
The pitch
is skied into right field. This thing is hammered. It's back at the track, it is at the wall, it is gone. Christian Campbell, Oppo Taco.
Pitch, swing, and he torches this one. And the error right. That's a punch. That's second deck. Raffy Devers. 2-0. And Willier swings, hits it high and hard. Right center field. Tharshow back. It's up. It's gone. They've hit five bombs in three innings. Willier Abreu salsas into the party.
Quick Red Sox update here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Celtics at High Noon. Pure Hoops with Terp every High Noon on a Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Text flying in, 617-779-7937 on the 100 humans or one gorilla.
It is pretty split.
It's more split than
that's
you
why it's
thought.
Such a great debate, because it's not one-sided.
My favorite text that we got in the last break was the gorilla is using two people as nunchucks.
Yeah.
Like the gorilla.
They could turn you into a weapon.
The gorilla is going to do something wild and unpredictable like that, where they're just whipping around the two smallest humans.
Yep.
And now they're taking you out. They don't care that it's broken bones and dead humans.
What do you think the Vegas line would be? Humans minus like 120?
Oh, I was going to say 150.
150.
Yeah. You think that's two?
Gorilla plus 110?
Yeah. So
it's a buying opportunity or sucker's bet?
Ooh, I do think ultimately it's a sucker's bet.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy in on that.
Got it.
But if I was going to bet one side or the other, I want the juice.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Always.
Probably lose it, but I want the juice. So here's your Red Sox update. 5 home runs last night.
Good juice last night.
I read a stat today that didn't sound right to me, and then I reread it. The Red Sox lead the majors in runs scored in the month of April
Okay. They're third in baseball, though, now. They are
you
third
love
in
those monthly stats.
Okay, well, I just, whoever I read, like these AP game stories or whatever they are, they must like use monthly stats. It's weird, but they're third in baseball.
Well, so they're going to be sad to see April go.
But like, forget about that. So they're third in baseball now. They've turned it around. The last time they played the Blue Jays, they couldn't score. They were bundled up.
No, they scored more runs last night than they did in four games against Toronto.
Great point. They were bundled up like they were in the Arctic playing the Blue Jays earlier this year. And now last night, pretty much everything goes right. Duran leadoff home run, Bregman home run, Campbell home run, Devers gets in there, Abreu gets in there.
A lot of Wally head.
So much.
Yeah.
Crochet pitches exceptionally well.
Yes.
Aside from one home run that he gave up to Vladdy. And, yeah, you look at the Red Sox and you go, okay, they're in business. We called this a sneaky big series going in. We've been asking for the bats to wake up. And this is a good little measuring stick from the last time they played the Blue Jays to now. You still have two more games in the series. We got Giolito today. Hauk has been struggling. He's in the game tomorrow. So let's see where the series goes, but that's a great, great start to what we think is kind of a big series for them.
Well, yeah, because we looked at the two starters that go tonight and tomorrow, and you're like, man, giant question marks. Lucas Giolito hasn't pitched in forever at this level, and then Tanner Houck has really struggled, right? He had a good start in there, but for the most part, he has struggled. So what are you going to get out of those two guys? So when you got Garrett Crochet on the mound, and for him specifically, he was coming off his worst outing. And he threw a bunch of pitches, even though he didn't get too deep into the game against Seattle. So you were looking to see a better, sharper Crochet, which you got. And then the ball just flying all over the park. I think everybody, with the exception of Rafaela, had at least a hit in the game yesterday. So that was good.
I know you had him as the AL Cy Young. Is it possible Crochet has exceeded your expectations?
No, I thought he was going to be really good. I thought he was going to be nasty. And so did most people. I think he was behind Tarek Skubal as the Vegas favorite. Some of the other betting sites had him as the leader or the co-leader to have the most strikeouts in the whole major league season. So, no, I just wanted to make sure that he was just getting the ball every fifth day. Because I thought if he was out there, he was going to be dominant. No, he's been as advertised.
Yeah, I would say at worst, he's met very high expectations. And it's possible he's exceeded for some out there. The only game he really struggled in, Keith, was the one we were at. So you keep us away from Fenway Park.
Right.
His splits independent of Jones and Keith.
Yeah.
Doing pretty well.
So seven starts, four of them hit the quality start metric. He has a 2.05 ERA. He's 3-2, and he has 50 strikeouts in 44 innings.
Nice.
Like, he's right there. Like, that's kind of what I was hoping for, and that's what he's done.
Yeah. So, as you said before the year, just stay healthy. He's going to be in the Cy Young mix. 617-779-7937. You want to jump in on the Red Sox, their bats waking up against Toronto. We called it a sneaky big series. Still two more games in the series, but a great start last night. You can jump in there. And it's approaching high noon on a Wednesday, which means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.